Mr. Shirliving, how you doing?
I'm doing okay, guys. How are you doing?
Very good.
Pretty good. I should have. That was a dumb question for me to ask. I have a feeling how you're doing because this is a shock to everyone. I mean, how's Mark handling this?
Well, you know, it was like you said, it was a shock. It was it happened a few days ago in Jersey, the injury, and then you know, right after you're looking at different options, and it's taken a few days to you know go through the diagnosis and as well as the timeline. If you know, is this something that we knew right away, fairly certain that, you know, this was something that was going to have to be surgically repaired or there was going to have to be a surgical intervention. The question we looked at is, you know, is there the ability to play through it or play at a certain time? You know, so Mark wanted to exhaust all those options first. And then, you know, when we finally determined that this is the only course of action. You couldn't play through it. Obviously, Mark was devastated. As you said, he's our captain, our heart and soul. Those that have been around him knows, you know, the type of person that he is. So it's been a tough pill to swallow. But we've had a few days to deal with it. And as we said to our group, this is not how what we would prefer. But we're not the only team that has to deal with this. It's some adversity, and we can either. You know, we can either hang our heads or we can dig in here and opportunity and the need for more people to jump into it. So we're dealing with it and moving on.
And I'm not, this isn't cliche-ish or I'm a firm believer in adversity builds character. And given the relative youth of this team, it could be a great teaching tool. That said, Sid and I were arguing, like, maybe not just Norris Trophy candidate or favorite at this point, but we even put the words heart beside his name. Can you put into words what he has meant to your team and its growth this year?
Well, I mean, from two perspectives, guys. On the ice, it's 25 minutes a night. It's both sides of special teams, power play, penalty kill. It's, you know, I think, if not the leading scoring defenseman, and right, and I think
at one point,
the leading scoring defenseman throughout the course of the year, you know, those things on the ice, you just don't replace. Like, that's not just something you just, you know, open the drawer and grab somebody to fill that. Off the ice, as you said, I think I've referred, he's the soul of this team. You know, he, in my opinion, he drags this team along. As he goes, we do. So, yeah, I would agree with you. And I think he's very deserving of all the accolades he's had thus far on the ice. But those are difficult shoes to fill, both, you know, from just a playing perspective, but also what he means to, as you said, a young group. You know, they look to him. He's like a, you know, when you go through tough times as a young group, you look to your leader, and he is our unquestioned leader. So, you know, having said that, you know, we are where we are. So now it's an opportunity for others to step up. Both, you know, we looked at stuff at the deadline to try to, you know, fill, if you will, as best we can, the absence of Mark. You're not going to find that player at the deadline. And I think you can make big mistakes trying to chase and short term fill it with the prices that were out there. So we're going to need more from everybody, not only on the back end, but up front. So the on-ice contribution has to be raised. And then, you know, we've got some, as I said today to our team, you know, either we've got some great leadership on this team outside of Mark. We've got a young team, but in a lot of cases, they've been leaders on their teams at young age. We don't have any rookies anymore. Everybody's 60 games in. So rookies by the wayside, we need everybody to jump in and pull together. Down the stretch, because it's a sprint, so we're gonna need everybody.
General manager of the Calgary Flames, Badger Living, joining us here. And Tim and Sid, sorry, I thought you got the cue that I gave.
Sorry, Tim, it's been that kind of day. I'm all over the place.
Let me just ask you: did it change your mindset going into the deadline, knowing what you knew about Mark?
It put an emphasis on what on trying to find defensive help. No question. And like I said, a lot of what we were trying to do, even before this injury, was trying to add to our depth. And we were trying to get into the hockey trade market versus the rental market.
Right.
So no question. You know, you hear about Mark. Now it's, okay, how can we, like I said, you're not going to fill it. How can we try to give ourselves some depth, try to spread it around, try to add to make up for the loss of Mark? And we looked at everything. We looked at a lot of possibilities. Again, as I said, to go all in on something where it's going to cost you a significant part of your future, whether that's in top young players, whether that's in picks, I felt real hesitant in doing that. Did we want to help this group? Yes, we did. But we just, despite the effort, we couldn't find a match. We were able to, you know, get some depth in terms of a waiver pickup of David Schlemko. We've got some younger players. You know, our minor league system is going to open up probably some room here for them. So when we really sat back and said, here's the options, here's the cost in terms of acquisition versus, you know, trying to do stuff within, we just felt, you know, really, you're not going to replace that person. And at the cost for potentially not upgrading ourselves that much, we just didn't feel that it fit for us.
Were you close, however you define that, Brad? Were you close to a short-term fix or not?
You never know. I felt there were some things that were sort of trending. Ultimately, they never got done. You know, the deadline's got some ebbs and flows to it. You feel like things are coming together, then they fall apart, then they come together. So ultimately, how close we were, it's hard to tell. I did feel that we had a couple of things that were going down the road and would have fit with us at a price that I think made sense, but ultimately they didn't get done. So, you know, we'll never know.
How many minutes do you spend on a phone on trade deadline day?
Quite a few. I know they kept getting charged all the time. That was probably
that's a good sign. Yeah.
Yeah, you want to walk around, but you got to be plugged in.
Yeah, you're plugged in. And you're leaning over here, but no, it's busy. I mean, it's busy. You're fielding calls. You're making calls. It's busy leading up to the deadline. You know, there's like I said, there's fits and starts to the day where things start to get momentum. Things start to slow down, but I think I'm no different than any of the other guys there, that it's a busy day and you're by the end of it, you're ready to throw the phone out the window for at least a half an hour.
We've dealt with Brian Burke in the past before, and he liked to get his business done before trade deadline. And I have no doubt that the ridiculousness of the day on both of our networks ads. Do GMs now want to get their business done before deadline day so they can kind of sit back and have an evil laugh as the two networks try and fight it out for scoops?
Yeah, I know it gets, you know, this is my first go at it in Canada. It's covered and we know that it's, you know, there's lots of talk and between the Twitter universe and the social media and the on-air stuff. I think it's always an uneasy time for players. From my perspective, I think it's, if you can get some stuff done early, not necessarily just to cut down the craziness, but it's really, I always equate it to five lanes of traffic merging into one. The closer you get to the, you know, to the finish line and the buzzer going off, you know, things start to really move and it can stall and it can, you know, it can get backed up if you're looking to do something else. If you're looking to do something and three other teams are, it becomes a little bit of a mess. So if you can act early, obviously I think that's, from a personal standpoint, I prefer it. Sometimes it doesn't work out that way. So, you know, you know, I don't know where some of the origins of some of the stuff that gets out there, but you know, it's what you deal with, and it's a bit of a crazy day. And in all honesty, I think all of us are glad to be beyond it and have it behind us.
I like the five lane merging into one analogy because I'm sure there's some road rage that goes along with it, and maybe some reactions to that road rage. Brad, we always appreciate you taking the time and doing this with us. It's especially after that day, very much appreciated.
You bet. Thanks for having me on, guys.